What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
What do Lutherans say about mortal and venial sins? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions. I'm George Samietz, serving in the ELCE as full-time parish pastor at Ascension and part-time tutor at Westfield House. The details of both, plus all other things ELCE, can be found at www.lutheran.co.uk. I hope you enjoy the program. What do Lutherans say about mortal and venial sins? The straight answer is... not a lot. My guess, based on my experience, is that if you hear these terms, you are in a Roman Catholic environment, chatting, reading, maybe watching a film, and those who use the terms, even in popular culture, usually have links with the Roman Catholic Church. The terms refer to a classification of sin as serious and not so serious. A mortal sin is knowing something is wrong according to God, and going ahead and doing it. It is the deliberate behavior, the deliberate doing, of something God has prohibited. Any list of these sins will include actions such as murder, rape, adultery, idolatry, slander, and the very notable or gross examples of breaking any of the Ten Commandments. And I believe there are ongoing discussions about modern mortal sins, for example, pornography and terrorism. These behaviors are called mortal sins because their action results not only in the bad things done, but in the spiritual death of the soul, separation from God. Roman Catholics talk about believers being in a state of grace, and a mortal sin kills or separates the believer from this state of grace, and if they die away from this state of grace, then they are lost for eternity. A person committing a mortal sin knows what he or she is doing, that their behavior is wrong, and that the behavior is regarded as a mortal sin, and nevertheless, they still go and do it. So a mortal sin is serious because its consequences are serious. However, the sacrament of penance restores this state of grace, and the Roman Catholic can now receive Holy Communion again. Venial sins are slight sins, that when they occur, they do not cause this fall from the state of grace, even though they injure the relationship a person has with God. These sins are disobedience in slight matters, the consequences of which are also slight. Maybe the person sinned without thinking, or out of past bad habits, and their intention is not to rebel against God per se, and so these actions are regarded as venial sins, not destructive of one's relationship with God. The sinner seeks forgiveness and moves on, resolving, no doubt, not to do it again. These two categories of sin try and make sense of the reality that Christians still sin, and that is serious. Some behaviors are so incompatible with being a follower of Jesus that doing them is said to result in separation from God. Mortal and venial are thus the terms used to alert Christians to that seriousness. However, as I've said, Lutherans don't use these terms. At least, I don't know of any who do. We see the same situation as the Roman Catholics, as do all Christians, about Christians sinning. We also see in the Bible that there are consequences for behavior, that Jesus' death on the cross doesn't give us a blank check to behave as we wish, and that discipleship, following Jesus, means dealing with sin, daily repentance. Nevertheless, the questions arise about what is happening when Christians break God's law, when Christians sin. Are all sins equal? And is there a difference between struggling with sin and sinning, and not struggling at all, but deliberately embracing sinful behavior? Whereas Roman Catholics use the categories mortal and venial to describe what is happening and what is the remedy for them, Lutherans take a somewhat different tack. For Lutherans, sin is sin is sin. As described in another straight answer, what do you mean that Christians are saints and sinners? We don't operate with the view that Christians are in a state of grace, so that they are no longer sinners, but rather with the tension that Christians are both saints and sinners at the same time. Lutherans can classify sin. Our dogmaticians talk about original sin and actual sin. Sins of commission, the bad we do, and sins of omission, the good we don't do. There are grievous sins and less grievous sins. So we go to Jesus talking to Pilate, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." The Bible recognizes the context of knowledge and age in determining the response to sin. So in Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, "And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." Our dogmaticians also describe some sins as crying sins. That is, their occurrence results in crying out. The earth that receives Abel's blood cries out. The people of Israel in slavery cried out. The oppression of widows and orphans, and even the withholding of wages from the laborers, both result in crying out for justice. These sins are often thought of as being against the helpless, where only God is their champion. Another way of describing sins is as pardonable and unpardonable sins. Here we're talking about repentance and the possibility of repenting, and it is the sin against the Holy Spirit that is unpardonable. For a straight answer about this, please go to the podcast, "What is the Sin Against the Holy Spirit?" Lutherans recognize that people do deliberately and willfully reject Jesus as Lord, push away, as it were, the work of the Holy Spirit, and stubbornly refuse to repent. And in that context, the forgiveness and mercy of God is cast aside, and people get their wish. And where there is no repentance, and God's kindness towards sinners never ceases, such people are cut off from God for eternity. So when Lutherans talk about mortal and venial sins, they recognize the issue, that people sin, and sadly some sins are such that people of faith do terrible, deliberate things, and some people fall away from the faith into unbelief. But the terms themselves are only used because others use them. We recognize the problem, but the language of mortal and venial sins have problems for us, and so they are not really part of our vocabulary. We don't accept that some sins of themselves are mortal sins, while others are minor or venial. We don't like the concept or even the assumption of big and little sins. In James chapter 2, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it." For Lutherans, sin is sin is sin. The sinful behavior is a manifestation of the root or core sin. Unbelief, not trusting God's word, rejecting Jesus, wanting to do our own thing, pride, and left to itself, we are lost. This is true whether the sin is a so-called big or little one, that left to itself, this fruit testifies to the tree. Thus, non-believers' sin in this regard are all mortal sins, to use that description, whether they are big or little. The root sin of unbelief is holding court. The issue, as we've said, comes when Christians sin. And this is where Christians differ in their understanding and teaching. For Lutherans, Christians are sinners, do sin, and keep sinning. This is an empirical reality. We can see it in ourselves, we can see it in others. Lutherans don't accept that a state of grace is the lot of Christians, in which they can do little sins, but big sins make them lose that state of grace. Now that concept is neat. You have an in and an out perspective. You have a standard or guide to determine in and out, big and little sins. But it is subject to all sorts of casuistry and discussions, and even almost a mechanized or programmed behavior resulting in people sinning, even mortal sins, knowing that they can do penance and be restored. And that's not the way it should be. We aren't to continue to sin so that grace may abound. For Lutherans, all sins which can do terrible things to us and others, this is the stuff we can see, is in truth even more dangerous because these sins are an attack on faith. They are damaging faith. It doesn't matter whether they are so-called big or little sins. Sin is poisonous to the believer and is not to be embraced but resisted, struggled against. It is this struggle that marks the Christian as under new management, where we still live in this world and in our bodies, all of which we see and experience, but we also live by the truth of our baptism, that in Christ we are new creations and we are called to live this new life in the world. Of course, the Christian believes his new status, his new identity. It's a matter of faith. And so living in this world, the disciples of Jesus seek to follow Jesus with only words, water, bread and wine as the points of contact to sustain and strengthen our faith and bodies. This produces the lifestyle of daily repentance, daily returning to one's baptism for help and assurance and strengthening. So for Lutherans, the context of the sinning is very important. And we want to know about the person sinning, situation, the motivation, whether there are patterns of behavior involved, and the consequences that sin has caused, all of which could reveal a struggling sinner trying to follow Jesus, or a Christian in delusion and denial about sin, or even a Christian who is rejecting Jesus, giving him the finger, so to speak, and who may have even rejected the faith. This sort of classification is important for the pastor to know how to care for this sinner. But for the sinner's point of view, sinners always need to hear the law to show them their sins, and hopefully they also hear the gospel, and absolved, they return to the struggle. This perspective takes faith seriously, that it is a relationship established by Jesus, and that it has a quality of being a gift, as it also is a discipline. This perspective takes sin seriously. The world, our flesh, and the demonic don't like to lose to Jesus, and each Christian is a walking civil war, living by faith, struggling with sin, rejoicing in God's grace. This is our perspective of sin and the Christian life. And yes, it isn't a matter of once saved, always saved, for Christians can lose, or a better term might be, kill their faith or their new life in Christ through sin's corrosive effects on us. And this perspective takes Jesus seriously. His death on the cross means that sin is serious. Human rebellion is serious. For Christians, this means that sin no longer has control, that its power to dominate and control is broken. We need to hear this each day, that Jesus freely forgives and is merciful, so that Jesus' cross inspires us to not walk according to the flesh. His cross also helps us in our sins to not despair, give up, or chuck in the faith, but rather to try again to follow Jesus in the area of life or the behavior that trips us up. This is the Christian lifestyle, struggling with all sins, no matter what they are, rather than dividing them up as mortal or venial. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.